You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
It's time to hear from the Green Party with co-leader James Shaw.
Last week, the Green Party announced their pledge to renters, a housing policy that would implement rent controls, a landlord register, and a rental warrant of fitness, among other things. Announcing the policy, co-leaders James Shaw and Marama Davidson said that in the first 100 days of a new government, the Green Party would implement this housing policy to ensure that everyone who rents always has a safe, healthy and affordable place to call home. To discuss the policy, I spoke to Green Party co-leader James Shaw and started by asking him why the party is making this pledge to renters.
Renters are largely forgotten in public policy, from as far as the Greens are able to discern. The fact is that rents have risen enormously and well above the increases in wages over the course of the last few years. We're in a situation now where, on average, people are spending 40% of their income on accommodation, and that's rising. It's way too high. Also, the fact is that, whilst, we've got some healthy home standards, the government's got no idea how many houses actually meet that. And so people are still living in these very expensive, inaccessible, cold, damp, unsafe homes, and it's time for that to stop. We're a wealthy country. It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, and over the last little while, the Greens have been collecting stories from renters about the living situations they've been in. What are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, they have been frankly horrifying. So we've had over 700 stories that have been sent in to us from renters around the country, and they include, sort of one that I remember was, a group of people living in a flat where they'd had to stop. They just had to kind of wall off one room because it had black mould growing in it. There was another who was a young mother with a child, newly born, who had respiratory illness the entire first 6 months of his life because they were living in a home that, again, was mouldy and damp. There were people who had stories about how, the gap between the wall and the window meant that, the kind of wind would just blow straight through. There was another who said that they had been living in a house where a leak had been repaired with glad wrap and tape, and the landlord had said that was, fixed. So, frankly, absolutely appalling, substandard homes that people are being forced to live in because they, there isn't enough supply in the market. People are terrified of speaking out because, it's really hard if they kind of lose or they get a black mark against their name because they've taken their landlord to the tenancy tribunal.
In this policy, you guys would like to see a national register of landlords. What kinds of things would be included in this register, and why do you reckon that transparency in these areas is so beneficial for renters?
Well, it is. Look, it's really important. I mean, there have been of the houses that have been inspected to see whether they meet the healthy home standard, over 50%, I think it's just over 50%, have been found to be non-compliant. So if you were to extrapolate that out, what that means is that you've still got an enormous amount of rental accommodation that doesn't meet those standards. So we want to introduce a warrant of fitness. You're not allowed to rent out a car if it's likely to cause injury or death to the occupant. We don't see why you should be able to rent out a house if, likewise, it's likely to cause sickness to the tenants. So the register would be properties that are leased out so that you can track the rental warrants of fitness and compliance with those. It would track, landlords and so on, because we, frankly, this is a hugely unregulated area, and we have so little information about rental accommodation in this country, which almost half the population lives in. So, I think it's really important that we've got good data about this, and that's why the registry is so important.
And how does this rental warrant of fitness differ from the current healthy home standards?
Well, it, because it would be enforced. and there would be a compliance regime. So at the moment, under the Healthy Homes Standard, it's up to the tenant to lay a complaint against their landlord for non-compliance. And then the house, you know, if you're lucky, will get inspected by council or by an agency. And so most tenants are really worried about doing that because they're worried about losing the tenancy or having a black mark against their name if they then apply for another tenancy. And so the burden of proof shouldn't be on the tenant, it should be on the landlord. And that's why with the warrant of fitness, you would say that actually every home that is rented needs to be inspected and needs to be registered as having met those healthy home standards.
How do you respond to critics of the policy who say that things such as capping rent rises at 3% would hurt renters because it would reduce housing supply because being a landlord would be disincentivised? What do you respond to these kind of critiques?
Well, what we're saying is that we're capping the rate at which rents can increase. So we're not saying that there can't be any increases at all, but they can only increase to the upper boundaries of the Reserve Bank's inflation target, so 3%. And that way, you know, people can rest assured that whilst their rent may rise, they've actually got some kind of predictability about that. There's no reason why someone should, unless they're massively over-leveraged and frankly aren't running a terribly good business, there's no reason why landlords shouldn't be able to continue to run their tenancies as a business within that boundary. And when you look at the reasons that people give for saying, well, you shouldn't cap increases, is that increases have been well above inflation in the past. They've been certainly well above the increases in wage increases, and those have not necessarily been tied to increases in interest rates. So, you know, people are saying, well, if you don't allow those rises to go on uncapped, you'd have to provide some evidence that rent rises were actually tied to the running cost of the house, which in the past they haven't been, because most landlords aren't running it, aren't running their homes for income on an ongoing basis. They're running them for capital gains, which they get when they sell the property.
So the most recent Roy Morgan poll saw the Greens drop by 2.5%. Are you optimistic that the Green Party will have the ability to put this housing policy into place?
Yes, I am. And part of that's because I don't pay a lot of attention to the Roy Morgan poll. It's the least accurate poll, you know, in between elections. We do watch the trend of polls, and overall, on average, our polling is higher and has been higher than our 2020 election result, and that was higher than our 2017 election result. So we're defying history because we're the only support party in the history of MMP that has actually risen in its support during its time in government. And so I think if you look at, you know, this election is obviously on a knife edge and people's vote is going to be critically important. But we're confident that we will have more Green MPs in the next parliament, and that we'll be able to form a government with the Labor Party and to have more Green ministers sitting around the cabinet table in that government.
That was Green Party co-leader James Shaw chatting to me about his party's housing policy.
That was James Shaw for the Green Party.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.